We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2015 Women's Bible Study in the Book of Mark, titled Servant, Sacrifice, Savior. If you'd like more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
We are going to talk about a certain section of Mark 3, because I know you guys have been studying it all week, right? That's the way it works. You study it before you come, correct?
Yes.
Whew, good, because that's what I thought the whole time. Let's pray again, get myself back in the right frame of mind. God, we come before you, and we're thankful that you go before us in everything. And I thank you, Lord, for the songs that Sophie chose. And I pray, Lord, that that last one we sang, Lord, wanting you to be the center of everything we do, I pray, God, that we would bring it all back to that. Because in every aspect, in every relationship, in every part of our life, everything we say, do, think, everything, God, should be underneath that premise that we want you to be the center. And so, God, I pray that you would go before us, that you would speak your words regardless of what's in my notes. And I pray that you would help us all to get our minds here, Lord, regardless of what's happened during the day, Lord, if our washing machine is still in our kitchen. Or whatever's going on, Lord, you know all the details. And so I pray, God, that you would go before us, that this would be a fruitful time where we would learn and where it would change us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Mark 3, you can go ahead and turn there if you're not there already. I was reading through this and talking to my mom, and I was like, do I cover the whole chapter? Because there's so many different subjects in one chapter. And she said, just whatever the Lord lays on your heart, which I'm like, oh. I mean, I don't mean to say it like that. You know what I mean? I was like, can't you just give me like a couple verses, because it makes it so much easier on me because I have more of a direction, but that's okay. So just a quick brief chapter outline, and then we'll get into what I'm going to be discussing tonight. So the Pharisees are still out to catch Jesus, right? In a mistake, trying to get him to say something that can get him thrown into jail or whatever, or murdered. The people are following Jesus everywhere, to the point where crowd control is necessary. And Jesus is like, all right, just get a boat. We're going out there. It's not like they're going to swim after us. The 12 apostles are appointed. Jesus points out the Pharisees' ridiculous claims about him working for Satan. The unpardonable sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit is talked about. And what's the last subject of the chapter? Do you remember? Those who follow him are his brother and mother. So I want to zone in on verses 20 to 27. We're going to talk about a kingdom divided tonight. And like I told you, my house has been in disarray for a week and a half. My house is always in some sort of disarray, but literal disarray with tile and guys working in our house all day. I homeschool my kids, so we couldn't be home for the last week and a half. Thankfully, my good friend Teresa homeschools her kids, so I've spent a full day at her house. I will be doing that again tomorrow while they finish up. So we've been at coffee shops and the church office and at wherever else we could be. So there has been a lot of opportunity to have a kingdom divided this last week and a half between my husband and I, particularly. So let's go ahead and read. Verse 20 of chapter 3. I'm in the New King James, so you might have a slightly different version, but I'm going to go ahead and read it out loud because it'd be weird if I just read it silently to myself up here. So chapter 3, verse 20. Then the multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he's out of his mind. Like, get him out of there. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of demons, he casts out demons. And I want to say that Jesus probably did one of these like, what? That's what I would do. Verse 23, so he called them to himself and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. Verse 27, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. So honestly, like I just said, if I was Jesus, I would whip my head around and go, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? I tell my friends all the time, you cannot reason with crazy. I mean, don't you ever like people say stuff and you're like, what? Do you know what I mean? Like someone said something to you and you're like, we're not going to get anywhere because this just doesn't make any sense. And you recognize what you're dealing with and you're like, okay, we're going to move on from this. But you have to realize the source and get to the level of the source, which is what Jesus did, because Jesus knew what was going on. But he decides to get to the level and explain it and break it down for them and for us. Because really, does it make sense that Satan would cast out his own demons? Because if Satan's going around casting out his own demons, he's taking out his own men, right? And what good is that? He would have been gone a long time ago if he was taking out his own men. So what does that mean for us? I want to talk about a kingdom divided that cannot stand and a house that's divided against itself cannot stand. And I think instantly we think a kingdom divided, I think marriage relationship because I'm married. However, beyond that, if you're not married, you have relationships all over the place. You have relationships at work. You have relationships here at church. And let's talk about this church as if it were a kingdom. My dad would never say, welcome to my kingdom, you know. And I don't say I have a kingdom or anything, but we have so much potential for relationships within these walls. Good things and bad things happen in relationships, right? What does Jesus want with us? A relationship. And that can be our example for how we live out our other relationships. And we don't want division from Jesus. And so we have to be careful to not have that division within our other relationships. Am I making sense so far? Good, we're 4 minutes in and I'm making sense. We're off to a good start. Because if we let the enemy into our relationships, he's like a gremlin and he gets in there and he chews it all up and he can just take everything down, right? Has it happened in your life before? Through a relationship. That's how we get hurt so much. Beyond a marriage relationship, there's friendships that can be broken down. And we're gonna explore that a little bit tonight. My family really is somewhat of a fairy tale when it comes to relationships. And I remember when I first married or first met my husband, he told me, he was like, I thought you were kidding when you were talking about your family and, you know, family dinners every night and mom and dad are still together and never saw them fight. But it's true. It really is. And I don't think I realized what an unusual thing that was until I grew up and realized that that really is not the majority's memories. And, but you guys know the story about my dad, right? How he lost his brother when he was really young. I'll tell the story real quick for those of you who don't. My dad was, they were a year apart. I don't remember the age and I'm going to say it wrong. So I'm just going to tell you the story. But my dad's brother, they all moved out here, his mom and his brothers and sisters. And his brother wanted to go back to Ohio where they had moved from. And so one morning he tried to wake my dad up and say, hey, Bill, I'm going to go to the bus station. You want to come with me? And it was really early in the morning. And my dad just said, no, man, I'm tired. You just go ahead. I'll see you later. Well, he contracted meningitis and he passed away. And my dad never saw him again. And so in my family, you always said goodbye. You always said, I love you. And you never left on bad terms. So that's how we were raised in my family. Am I like that now? Yeah, I would love to say that I am, but I'm not always that way. But it's always in the back of my mind. If I leave on bad terms from somewhere, I'm like, oh my gosh, something bad's going to happen and I'm never going to see that person again. So that really is how I was raised. But I hear about families that don't talk to each other for years and years and years. And it breaks my heart because I think, gosh, this is your family. And it's happened within my extended family. And it's hurt. It hurts. And after a while, you kind of forget what the whole thing started as. So let's explore this a little bit tonight together. I want to talk about how a house gets divided and how to prevent a house from getting divided. So let's talk about how does a house get divided in the first place, because it's pretty subtle. It happens so small. There's 4 points here, and the first point is misunderstanding. Misunderstanding happens to everybody. Like I said, my house all this week and a half has felt like one big misunderstanding. We left the dog in the garage, or we forgot to feed the dog, or we didn't let the dog out, or you were going to be at the house. I thought you were going to open the house for the guys who are working on the house. I mean, just, you know. And then with my kids, I thought you did that project, and I thought this was already done, and all these misunderstandings, because we all have different personalities, different desires. We all communicate differently. Within my marriage, I would say I'm more the guy when it comes to communication. Because I can come home from a retreat and my husband will be like, "So how was the retreat? I've been gone for 3 days." And I'll be like, "Good." And he's like, "Okay." Whereas if he came back, he'd be like, "Well, on Friday we did this and I was gonna drive, but then I realized I forgot something back at the house. So I had to turn around and go back to the house and get the thing. And then I realized I was out of gas. So you know how I like to go to this one gas station and not the other gas station. So I went to that gas station. I'm like, oh my gosh, give me dot points. Like, you're losing me, you're losing me, you're losing me. I wanna listen, but I can't." And I joke around with him about that all the time, but we totally communicate differently. And it's like that in every relationship that we have, right? Wouldn't it be great if we all just communicated exactly the same way? But on top of that, we're women, so we feel everything. I'm totally the girl when it comes to that in our relationship. Absolutely the girl, because I feel everything. And I have to step back and try and look at the reality most of the time. But we can choose to let these little misunderstandings become more than just those personality conflicts and just those little misunderstandings. James 2:23 says, "Avoid foolish disputes because they only generate strife." Are there times within our friendships when maybe they'll need to change? Absolutely. Because I think especially as women, we have this special thing about us that we connect in a completely different way than men do with their guy friends. You know, I'll tell my husband, I'll be like, "Well, we hung out." He's like, "What'd you do?" I'm like, "Well, we just sat and talked." And he's like, "You know, like, do anything?" I'm like, "No, it was great. We just sat and talked." And for him, that sounds like the most boring thing in the world. But we have this way where we connect with one another. And you have those people that you're going to be really close with. And you're going to tell them everything because you've built a trust with that person. But you're going to have other people who you wouldn't tell them your whole life story. You wouldn't share those deep things. And that's okay. And maybe you've had those friendships that are really, really close and they've changed. And sometimes that's just natural and it happens. Sometimes it's because somebody got hurt. Sometimes it just changes because it changes. Are you following me? And I think that it's okay for us to recognize that not every relationship we have is for us. Because there's times in your life where there's gonna be somebody who needs you. And you're not really gonna get anything out of that friendship. Do you follow what I'm saying? They need somebody to listen to them. They need somebody to talk and breathe wisdom into the trial they're walking through. And you will have somebody who you need to do that with, who they're not really getting anything out of the relationship. You're the one who's getting it. You see what I'm saying? And then you have those kindred spirits, those tight friends that you can share everything with, where you can go to a person and you can say, "I'm really struggling because my friend came up to me and said, those jeans look awful on you." And you can share that with your friend in a way that's not gossip. You can say, "I'm just really hurt by it and I just really need to talk about this and figure out how I'm gonna move past it." Which that's one. Or you can go, "Oh my gosh, guess what she said to me? She walked up to me and she goes, you look so fat in those jeans." So what's the difference there? There's gossip. You don't wanna do anything about that. You just wanna talk about it. This other one is, "I'm really struggling with it and I don't want this to separate friends, so I wanna deal with it." Those are the friends that you can really talk to because you've built up a trust. And that's okay. Are you getting me? Are you getting that I'm not saying you should find this friend and tell them everything that anybody's ever done to you because it's totally okay? No. What I'm saying is you're going to have those friends that you're going to share everything with. Those are the places that are really vulnerable. Those are the places where you just open up your heart and you pour it all out. I tend to hold most of my stuff in. And then I'll find a friend and I'm just like, blah, 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 and I tell them everything. And then I text them when I leave the coffee date. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to pour out." They're like, "It's fine. It's what friends do." So I tend to have a harder time opening up. But we will always have those friendships. And sometimes they're going to change because it's a natural drift that happens. But sometimes it's that misunderstanding that got a little out of hand. And it's when we dwell on that drama that we're going down a road that God didn't intend for us to go down. Because we have a choice at that point. We can choose to take that personally, or we can choose to be like, "Really? I think you could have said that in a nicer way about my jeans." Don't tell me if I look fat in my jeans unless I ask you, just so you know. I'm just letting you all know that. If I do, I want to know. Do I? No, I'm just kidding. We started in misunderstanding. Point two is pride. Because we've started with a misunderstanding. It's a simple misunderstanding. And now we're moving into pride because they should have known that I would have taken it that way. How dare they? Who do they think they are? They can't talk to me that way. Pride is refusal to accept our part. And I am the queen. And I stand up here being really transparent with you guys because I know we're all there from time to time. James 4:6, and James is the book that I read that I'm like, I don't even think I'm saved. Like, I'm totally not a Christian because I read James and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm such a worm. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud, but what? Gives grace to the humble. Which one do you want? I want grace. I don't want to be resisted by God. Proverbs 13:10 says, here's another one on pride. By pride comes nothing but strife. Proverbs 13:10. And Proverbs 16:8 says, pride goes before the fall or destruction. When you tell a story about something that happened between you and a friend, don't you always make sure that you come out on top a little bit? Like, I just gently told her that those weren't the best jeans for her. When in reality, you were like, I can't believe you're wearing those jeans. I don't know why I keep going back to jeans. I think it's because I'm self-conscious about my baggy jeans. Anyway, but there are three sides to every story. Have you heard that? His side, her side, or her side, and the truth. What really happened? My kids do this all the time. It happened this morning. Emmy's in the, oh, I shouldn't name names, but anyway, oh, well, already happened. Emmy's in the kitchen. Mia, what are you doing? Why are you getting the Jell-O out? What are you doing with the Jell-O? You can't have Jell-O for breakfast. And Jesse walks in the kitchen. He's like, what's going on? Why are we fighting in the kitchen? Well, she's getting out Jell-O for breakfast. What, you're getting out Jell-O for breakfast? Emmy, worry about yourself, da-da-da-da-da. Well, I just asked her why she was getting the Jell-O out. And of course she didn't. She was like, you can't have Jell-O for breakfast. Well, it turns out she was getting out her Jell-O for a snack later. Not for breakfast, because I asked her to pack a snack. See, misunderstanding. Happens in my house all the time, because I have two girls, 12 and 13, and then me. And I'm like the two of them put together in one body. Super emotional, super girl, like, we all get on the same cycle, because God's funny like that. And that's really fun. But we have a way of twisting actual events to make sure that we come out looking like the victim, and that we didn't do anything wrong. Because we don't want to accept our part. So this is where the misunderstanding starts to change and morph into something a little more serious. And all the steps along this way, we want justice and we want our rights. Have you ever been there? And sometimes you know you're not going to get it from that person. And what do? You're just like, well, I don't need her. I have my own set of friends. And we all, you may not be as sassy as me, but you do it in your own way. I don't mean that to be like, you do it in your own way. But we do. And because if we stepped back from that conflict that we're engaged in and really examined our motives, most of the time we'd realize that I'm fighting against my pride. I saw this quote on Pinterest that said, the first to apologize is the bravest, the first to forgive is the strongest, and the first to forget is the happiest. Because how chained up do you get when you're in the midst of a conflict with another person? Because you're thinking that everything they do has to do with you. Did you see she wore her white jeans because she knows that I like those white jeans and I think they look better on me? And did you see the way she looked at me? And da-da-da-da-da. We get so wrapped up that we really think that that person's entire day has to do with us. Am I the only one? Okay. Because that post she put on Facebook, I know she's talking about me. I know she means me. Sometimes she might be. Who cares? In reality, we really shouldn't be so wrapped up in that. But I gotta be honest with you guys, I have a hard time with all three of those. Apologizing, forgetting, and forgiving. Very difficult things. Because guess what I have to drop to do all three of those things? My pride, exactly. I talk to my kids all the time about sorry. What it really means when you say sorry. Because a lot of times this is how it happens. While I'm talking to them, okay, sorry, 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 sorry. Which really means, okay, stop talking, stop talking, stop talking. That's what it really means. And I'll be like, no, you're not sorry. You just want me to stop talking. And I'm not going to stop talking because I'm not done yet. But what I tell my kids is, your words mean nothing until you decide to make a change. I watched this Levi Lusco series called Sorry, Not Sorry. You should write it down because it's so good. Watch it with your kids. Watch it with your friends. Watch it with somebody you have a conflict with. Just kidding. How would that be? That would really make the conflict good. I think we should watch this together. But this one message was called Get Your Butt Out of It. His whole point was, a lot of times we say, I'm sorry, but if you hadn't done that, I wouldn't have done this. And what he said was, you don't mean anything before that, but you mean everything afterwards. It's really not an apology anymore. It's a full-on excuse. I'm sorry, but if you hadn't said that about my jeans, I wouldn't have posted that thing about you on Facebook. I'm trying to get things for you guys to relate to, things that might have happened in your life, because we've all had that. So are we really apologizing? And on top of that, I tell my kids, you need to say I'm sorry when you're ready to say sorry. Not because I just stood here and told you you have to. Because that's just, you're obeying me. It has to be a matter of your heart. And on top of that, after you say sorry, you ask that person to forgive you. Because guess what that does? Completely takes the power away from you and gives it to them. Talk about setting down your pride and being humbled. Because a lot of times, have you ever had somebody say, would you forgive me? And you're not really ready. But what happens if we don't forgive people? What's at stake? What does the word say? Is at stake. If we don't forgive, we can't be forgiven. Our own forgiveness is at stake if we don't forgive people. Is it okay for you to say, I forgive you, I just kind of need a minute? Absolutely. Because I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm so glad you said that. Let's go to coffee together. You know? Because sometimes you need a little time to kind of heal because it hurts. And sometimes you have to take that time to rebuild trust. But if we let things fester and go on for so long, you start to forget what you were mad about in the first place. And your kingdom is getting divided. Has that ever happened to you where you're mad? You don't know why anymore, but you're just not ready to not be mad anymore. It's happened to me. Because I'll tell you what, my first 10 years of marriage, maybe, I was an expert at the silent treatment, an expert. I'd be like, okay, fine, because I'm really good at shutting people out. I'm really good at being, I don't really need you in my life, that's okay. With my husband, poor man. But what I've learned to do now is recognize my inclination, and I have to go against it. And I even have to say it out loud. You know what? I'm really struggling with what happened right now, and it's really hard for me because I want to completely separate, not separate legally, but I want to be away from you. I have to fight that and say, I need you to help me because I know that's not from God. That's where we get to our next point. If we're holding on to something and we're so far to the point where we don't even really remember why we're mad anymore, because what did it all start with? A misunderstanding. Most of the time, there are big deal things that are not misunderstandings, and I get that. It's completely separate. But this is starting with a misunderstanding, then we have pride, then that leads us to division. So we've misunderstood somebody, we've taken our side, we've decided that everything they did was against us, and now we're divided. Lines are drawn and sides are taken. Well, if she's gonna act that way, then I don't need her friendship anymore. Well, if he's going to do that, he can fold his own laundry. I've done it. It was really, really effective. It really enriched our marriage. kidding, just in case anybody thinks I'm literal. Again, let's get convicted. James 4:1. Where do our fights and quarrels come from? From our flesh not being pleased right away when it wants it. They didn't say what they should have said. And a lot of times, if somebody comes and says sorry right away, you're like, well, I'm not ready yet. Because you feel like you hold some kind of power when really, who are you chaining up? You've heard that, right? If you don't accept somebody else's forgiveness, you're not chaining them up. They're free. You're the one who's not free because you're deciding to hold on to it. I had a friend who went through this conflict with another friend, and it was really difficult because she was trying to do everything she could to restore, but this other friend just constantly would pull away, wouldn't look at her when she was around her. The relationship was broken no matter how much she tried to repair it. It was just broken. And we were talking about it. She's a very close friend of mine. And we were talking about it, and I said, you know what? I feel like you've done everything you can do. And you've come to the point where you just need to be able to say, okay, and not let it affect you so much, which is hard. Because it's hard when you know that somebody has something against you. We all want everybody to like us, right? Okay, I grew up a pastor's kid. That's a lesson that I've had to learn my whole life, and I'm not saying I've had to learn it any more than anybody else or I'm better at it, but I would say that I teach my kids all the time, you know what? There are going to be people in your life that are not going to like you, and that's just the fact. Because as a grown woman, there are places that I will go where there are groups that are impenetrable, and it's like you're back in junior high, and it's true. And so I try and teach my kids that. I'm like, you cannot please everybody. And if you've done everything within your power to repair that relationship, then it's no longer your burden to bear. It's now theirs until they decide to put it down. Are you following me? So I was talking to my friend about this, and I think that when you're able to really let that go, you're able to move on. Is it hard? Because you still want that person to like you, yes. But if you do everything that you really can and devote it to prayer and not to gossip, then the Lord's going to heal your heart regardless of what that person chooses. Am I making sense? And not making it sound like you should break off every relationship when somebody hurts you, because that's not my goal. When in any relationship, like a relationship with a close friend or a relationship with your husband, you have boundaries, right? If you're sharing your deep, dark secrets with a friend, you're entrusting them with that. And you have a confidence with them. And so you have a boundary around that relationship where you know they're not going to go, guess what I heard about Shannon the other day? Guess what she told me the other day? And in a marriage, you have boundaries, right? But a lot of times when this kind of stuff happens and it gets this far, you focus more on the division than the defense. Because you do need to defend your relationships. And those things that before were entrusted to you, you've now turned them into weapons. Well, I know this about her. And I think that it happens in the church just as much as it happens outside of the church. And I know I feel like I talk about this every time I stand before women, but it's such a rampant thing. You know, we just do it, and maybe we don't notice sometimes, but we have to be vigilant and we have to stand and defend our relationships. Am I making sense? Is everybody with me? Y'all are so much quieter than the morning group. I'm just gonna tell you. It's because you've all had a full day. I get it. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying you're quiet. It's because you're all relaxed. Because when we are focusing more on that division than the defense, we've dropped our guard everywhere else. And we're over here working on this. So the verse 27 talks about the strong man. If you want to go into a strong man's house and get all his stuff, what do you have to do? You got to tie him up. And guess what? When we get wrapped up in this kind of stuff, we may not be tied up like this, but we are tied up. We are all wrapped up over here dealing with this drama, and everything else is like out of our mind because we're so zoned in. And what does the Bible say? It says in John 10:10, which I'm going to mention again later, the enemy comes to just shake us up and bug us a little bit, right? Is that what the scripture says? The enemy has come to shake us up and bug us. What does it say? Steal, kill, rob, destroy. So what happens if we're over here and behind us, everything else is getting destroyed because we let ourselves be distracted with the division and we focused on the division? And the best way for the enemy to get to us is distraction, because he's a pro and we're all suckers. I am a pro at distraction. Like, I don't even need the enemy to help me be distracted because I'm all over the place. Ask my closest friends. It's like following me on a, you know, on a conversation. It's like, wait, wait, oh, we're back here now. Okay, wait, now we're over. Okay, we're going to talk. Okay, you know what I mean? You know what I mean, because you've been listening to me for 30 minutes. But if someone wants to rob a house, they just need to get in there and distract and tie up that strong man. And if we let the enemy do that to us, we've gone from division to our point number four, defeat. And it all started with a misunderstanding. Misunderstanding, pride, division, and defeat. Division leads to defeat, and we are plundered, robbed, and devastated. Again, John 10:10, the enemy comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. What does he want to destroy? Just anything and everything that makes you want God. Anything and everything. He knows we need God. But if he can make us not want God, because there are times in my life, I know every day I need God. There are times in the day where I don't really want to sit down and let God speak to me. I don't really want to take the time. I know we're all there from time to time, and I won't make you guys raise your hands. But if the enemy can get into our relationships and cause division, then he can get to anything else in our life. Because aren't we made to be people who are in community? We're not meant to be isolated. What happens if we're isolated? We're like that one wildebeest that's running away from the lion, and he's going after that one who's all alone and injured and kerfuffled over here in the corner. So we don't want to be that, right? We want to stay in community. It takes so much sacrifice and so much humility and sometimes a little bit of silence. Because oftentimes we stop and look around and are like, whoa, how did it get out of hand? I used to be so close to this friend, and now all of a sudden, we're not talking. I was talking to a lady this morning after the service, and she said, my sister and I had the dumbest disagreement, and she hasn't talked to me for like 10 years. And I'm like, oh. And she's like, and it was just over something so stupid and so small. And she's like, I try to reach out and I try to love them. And that's really all you can do. Some relationships are unhealthy. Don't get me wrong. We all know what those look like. And those are not ones that you should really work hard on restoring. You all know what I mean. But when it all starts with a misunderstanding, and then we get prideful, and then it's division, and then we're just defeated. How can we avoid the divide? Actually, before I get there, I did some research because I thought about division, and the first thing I thought of was the Berlin Wall. And I was just a kid when the Berlin Wall, you know, Mr. Gorbachev, what did he say? Tear down this wall. Part of the remodeling in our house was we had this wall that separated our living room and our kitchen. And my little sister, who's 10 years younger than me, who's probably never even heard that speech, I sent her a video of us bringing it down. She's all, tear down this wall. So anyway, it made me think of it. But during the Cold War, the Berlin Wall stood and separated East and West Germany for almost 30 years. And overnight, families were separated. It only took them 2 weeks to put up this makeshift wall of barbed wire and concrete. And over time, the wall was replaced and became a 12-foot tall wall that was 4 feet wide, and actually was two walls. There is one wall, a strip that was called the death strip, and another wall. Talk about division. Within this wall were 79 miles of fencing. You know how far away 79 miles is? Almost San Diego. I Google mapped it. I was all, San Clemente? No? Still farther? Carlsbad? No? San Diego, almost downtown San Diego. 79 miles of fencing, 300 watchtowers, 250 guard dog runs, because they had German shepherds, 20 bunkers, 65 miles of anti-vehicle trenches. Over 170 people died trying to cross over. They were either shot on sight or injured while they were trying to get over or under the wall, or they committed suicide when they weren't able to. But more than 5,000 people got over or under, one of them by hot air balloon. How cool is that? If I was one of those people, I would want to be the hot air balloon person because that's just rad. But I love that because they refused to accept the division. But go back to the building of all of that. What dedication to division. Aren't we all like that sometimes? We've put so much effort sometimes into dividing. We've dropped our defenses. And we're divided. And it just happens. How can we avoid the divide? Really simple answers. James 4, verses 7 through 10. Submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, cleanse your hearts, purify your mind, lament over your sins, and humble yourself. Doesn't that sound easy? That's really hard, huh? So this is going to get a little redundant, so bear with me. We're going to go through each step and talk about what we can do each step along the way, because you're never too late to restore a relationship. It just takes two of you to decide that you're going to restore it. What if it'll never, ever be restored? Can you still do your part to work on it? Absolutely. And like I told you about my friend, can you do everything right, even if that person has chosen to do everything wrong, and still be able to walk forward and not be distracted over here? If you're at the point of misunderstanding, you know what you can do? Submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, cleanse your hearts, purify your mind, lament over your sin, and humble yourself. What about pride? Submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, cleanse your hearts, purify your mind, lament over your sin, and humble yourself. What if it's the point of division? You've already been divided. Do you want to guess? Submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, cleanse your hearts, purify your mind, lament over your sin, and humble yourself. But what if you've already built this giant Berlin Wall in your relationship and it's already defeated? Because people leave churches over really dumb stuff. And I don't say that as your pastor's daughter saying, please don't leave no matter what happens. What I say is people have left the church because they don't like the chairs. Not this church, any church. I get to hear all sorts of stories of why people leave the church. The music was too loud. They didn't sing the songs I wanted. My goodness. Sorry, do I sound really annoyed? I am the most expressive of the four children. Honestly, though, man, if we're to the point of defeat where our relationships are defeated, what can we do? Submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, cleanse your hearts, purify your mind, lament over your sin, and humble yourself. And I say that to myself because I get frustrated that I don't do that, that I don't submit to God, that I don't resist the devil, that I don't lament over my part. Because I was right, and they should understand that I am important. It sounds so lame when we say it out loud, doesn't it? It really does, but I am just as guilty. Honestly, though, if we could bring it all back down, three words, submit to God, and you could stop right there. Because if I'm submitting to God, guess what? I'm not going to let all of those things happen. But if I'm not submitting to God, I've let the enemy come in, tie up my strong man, and he's wreaking havoc. But if I am submitting to God, I'm going to be resisting the devil, submitting to God, and all those things that we listed from before. So it always comes back to that simple truth, the simple truth that if we stand divided, we don't really stand at all. And I think about that Berlin Wall again, and I think about the dedication to division and how if we stopped and broke down any conflict that we were in and recognized that we've become a kingdom divided in this area or that area or whatever it is, then we would realize that we could have at one point stepped back and said, okay, Lord, how should I handle this? And had a way better outcome. Are you guys following me? Because I was super convicted with this, and not just because my tile is upside down, and it's not upside down, they put it in right, but my house is upside down, not just because of that, that's so petty, but I think about those things that have turned into big things when they didn't need to. And it happens especially with us women because we take things personally and we get hurt. Do you know how many notes I've gotten in the offering boxes about people who don't like my worship? More than a few. And I don't say that so you'll all go, what? I'll come with you. We'll meet around the playground. I don't say that. What I say is, we gotta step back and we can't take everything so personally. We have to step back and think about everything underneath the umbrella of submission to God. You know? So I have a few take-home questions for you guys, because the enemy is out to divide us, so we have to step back. It's up to us to get our heads on straight and decide what our ultimate goal will be. And I want my goal to be to submit to God. Do I always want to submit to God? No. I want people to do what I want them to do. All right. Question one. Are there any areas in my life where I'm living like a kingdom divided? Are there any areas in my life where I'm living like a kingdom divided? And these aren't questions that you answer in your small group unless you want to. Answer them on your own if you'd like. Question two, are there any areas of my life where I've let down my defense? Just picture yourself over here. Is there anything that you're over here dealing with when you've got all that other stuff happening behind you and you've let your defenses down? Question three, how strong am I? How strong is my strong man? Because if I'm not walking with the Lord and devoting my time and submitting to him and everything, I'm not going to be really strong, am I? And I'm going to become like that wildebeest I was talking about, who's out there like, I think I beat him. I think I'm faster. So my encouragement to you ladies, did everybody get those three questions? Okay. The what? The third one is, how strong is my strong man? Of course. The first two. Okay. Are there any areas of my life or in my life where I'm living like a kingdom divided? And number two, are there any areas of my life where I've let down my defenses? So to wrap up, I encourage you ladies to explore the relationships in your life that have these little misunderstandings lingering in them. And maybe you walked in here tonight with that kind of in the back of your mind and you're like, oh, geez, she's talking about shoot, you know? Explore it. Have you done everything you can do to restore it? If you have, awesome. Then you can set that aside and let the Lord deal with it. But you can also step back and say, maybe I could have gone about this a different way. And maybe I can remind that friend that I'm on their side and that I want us to be united. And like I said, just so I've covered it, there are relationships that are damaging that are not necessary to restore. Can we all know what I'm talking about? Great, because I don't want to make a list. But I encourage you to just explore it and look at it in that list of submitting to God, resisting the devil, all those things. Because we don't want to be divided in every individual relationship or as a church as a whole. We want to be able to be united, because we're so much stronger when we're united, aren't we? Let's pray. God, we come before you and we thank you that you give us relationships in life, places where we can see how we react to different situations, Lord, ways that we can develop a little bit of a thicker skin and maybe not take things so personally, Lord, ways that we can see that everybody is so different. Some need more of a gentle word and some need a harsher word. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to be women who want to submit to you in everything, and that we would submit to you, that we would go beyond the wanting, that we would drop our rights and our justice and recognize that we really don't have any rights, Lord, because we all are deserving of death. But you came and you died for all of our sins. The sins of the sister that we're frustrated with, or the husband that we wish would just leave us alone. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be women who speak or don't speak with wisdom, that we would be women who live wise lives, Lord. We would only speak when it's necessary and kind. Lord, help us to be about raising one another up and not tearing one another down, not building walls between us, Because when we build walls between us, Lord, we're really building a wall between us and you. And so, Lord, I pray that we would long to tear that wall down so that we can have communion with you and community with our brothers and sisters here. I pray that this church refuge would be a place where people feel that connection, they feel that community, Lord, where we're all in this fight together, and that we would work on defense and not division. Lord, help us to be strong in you so that we can fight against the enemy who's always out to destroy us, that we wouldn't let down our defenses. And I pray that as these women go into their small groups, Lord, that you would help them to be able to encourage one another in whatever they're walking through, Lord. I thank you that you know every intricate detail of every single life here. And so I pray, Lord, that you would cover us, that you would renew our relationships with you, Lord, that we would be in tight communion with you so that we can do these things that we're called to do. And we thank you that you give us that, and that by your Holy Spirit, we can do those things. And so, Lord, we thank you again for this time, and we just pray you'd continue to go before us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.